Good evening, Abosa. Good evening. Good evening. Before we just learn Mishnah Berurah, is it okay the time of the is that okay? Can we now for the next until further notice Pesach time 8 o'clock? Yeah, until further notice 8 o'clock. Sure. Good. Okay. I wanted to share with you a thought which I had in regards to Erev Rosh Hashanah, in terms of the whole concept of Malchus. I want to share you a thought. Don't know what you think about it. There was a... there's a question that bothered me. I didn't actually see it in the Sforim, but a question that bothered me about Malchus. Why is it that in Rosh Hashanah we are emphasizing so much Malchus as the key concept? Proclaim HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the king. I mean, there's many aspects of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Many aspects. He's our father. He's our king. He's the one who gave us the mitzvahs. There's so many aspects of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Why is it on Rosh Hashanah we more than anything else, we look at we approach at the Kodesh Baruch Hu as being the one, the king, Malchus. So I don't know if the question is such a strong question, but I have an answer to this. I think it's quite a yesod. Tell me what you think about it, Rabbi Yisai. There was once a lady that her family had moved to Denmark. Before the war, we're talking about the war years, the 1930s, before the war broke out. And the family moved away, family moved to Denmark, and before there was any problems with regards to visa, etc. But that particular lady, she was a young girl, and she remained in Germany. And as the situation got worse, well, she then decided she needs to escape. She needs to run away, and she decided she's going to join her relatives who had settled down in Denmark, which was safe haven, which was a safe place. So Germany was getting worse. Well, she tried to transcribe to Germany. However, by then, it was more complication, and it was more difficult to actually escape. And more than that, it was more difficult, it was in mid-30s, it was more difficult to actually accept. There was such an increase of people seeking get into the neutral countries. So Denmark actually had to close the borders to some extent. They couldn't accept everybody that did it. Many thousands, even 10,000 of Yidden wanted to emigrate to Denmark. They wouldn't allow anybody to move. They wouldn't allow everybody. So it was much harder to actually get a visa. It was much harder to actually access the country. But with some protection, with some complications, she managed to actually get what was called an interview to get into the country. So you have to first explain yourself and why you want to leave the former country, and more importantly, what you think you're going to give to Denmark. Why should he be accepted into the country? And this young girl, she was really desperate. She knew if she stays behind in Germany, it's looking very, very dark. It's looking very tragic. And she really wanted to settle down in Denmark. She knew that's the way her future. She was a young girl. And with the law of protection, she managed actually to get an interview, what's called an interview of an application. And not only that, but through protection, she was actually granted an application by the actual His Majesty, the Royal Highness, the King. Now, Denmark is ruled by a king. I don't know what the name of the king was in those days, but it was a fine king and a generous king, and he was a good king. And it is, Rabbi said, this is a true story. And she got granted that she went there with the suitcases, just asking for an application, for an interview, to get accepted into the country. So the king is either going to say, yes, okay, you're granted, you can stay over here, you can stay right over here, or the king is going to say, actually, no, you can't, you have to go back to where you're coming from, and that would be the end of the application. So you can imagine the tension that was, and the pressure she had going to this interview. And here she was, a young girl, and she came on that designated day. She traveled for miles, for a couple of days. She traveled from Germany to go to Denmark, and she got there, and then she had this paper, and the application, and the request, and everything, and how she could go enter the palace. And then she was granted entrance. She went up there. Guards and soldiers, they were protecting the king. And then eventually she goes into the king's room, and as she stands in front of the king, asking for application, she knows very much. She knows she's going to get granted to live in the country, settled in the country, and then that means life, or Chas v'Shalom, the opposite, she'd have to go back. And here she goes, she's got her 1 minute slot, a 1 minute opportunity for requesting to stay in the country. 1 minute slot. And here she goes and she tries to speak, but because the pressure is so big and the tension is so great, what happens? She just faints on the spot. She can't take this. She stands in front of the king. She's got that minute now available. And she faints on the spot. She faints on the spot. And then she's ushered, she's taken out on the room next door, and over there she's being given something to drink and something to shake her bed, and she wakes up, and then as she wakes up, she's just about to faint again. So I had this 1 minute slot, and I've messed it up now, I've lost it forever, and I won't be able to ask the king again. That means I have to return back, and that's the end of it. And then the waiter, the soldier, the guard, he tells his guard, Miss so-and-so, do you know that your application has been accepted? I said, what? My application is accepted? How can I be? I mean, it's unbelievable, it's amazing, but how can I be? Well, the king said, it's fine. I said, but how can I be? I mean, I didn't have an opportunity to even express myself, didn't have an opportunity to speak. Why is it granted? And he said, because the king said the following. His Royal Highness, the king said the following. The Danish king said as follows. He said that if there is a citizen who has got such respect and such understanding of authority, like she had, that she fainted when she saw me, and she got full understanding of the royalty and full understanding of respect before a royal and a king, then there's no doubt she certainly will be a good citizen. And she'll be an asset to the country, she'll be a good citizen. That's what this very wise king said. He said she's got full understanding of the respect and authority of royalty, and she's therefore, she's granted, citizenship is granted, she doesn't have nothing further. And indeed, her life was spared, and she was given the visa, and the application was accepted, and she settled in Denmark, and she remained there for the rest of her life. Now this, what this teaches us is quite unbelievable, because I was thinking, what does Malchus mean? Why is Malchus the key component? Why do we not primarily speak about Ribbono Shel Olam being our father? Why do you primarily speak about Ribbono Shel Olam, the Nois and the Mitzvahs? Why do you primarily speak about Kodesh Baruch Hu being our Melech? It's because if we stand on Rosh Hashanah in front of Ribbono Shel Olam, and we think and we say that we are Kodesh Baruch Hu, accept you as a king, then everything else is going to be knock on from that. Then obviously we're going to be good citizens in the Ribbono Shel Olam's country. We're going to be accepting the mitzvahs because he's our king. So obviously we're going to accept all the mitzvahs. We respect him, we accept him, and we make him our king. Then all his laws and all his mitzvahs are going to be our life, and we're going to be accepting that on the full of. That's why we have to make the Ribbono Shel Olam our king more than anything else. That was my thought. Now, I wanted to add to this, that I know this story for a fact, it's a true story, because this lady, this wasn't a young lady, she settled down in Denmark, and she happens to have a grandmother-in-law. So I know this is a true story. So that's, I think it shows us, the kach, if somebody really accepts royalty. So I'm just, this was my thought that I wanted to share with you. Yeah, she lived after this for many years in Denmark, as well. Yeah. Yeah, so she had some siblings that moved before. She had siblings that moved, but she'd have come on to stay a bit. She wanted to stay a little bit longer. She had She was an independent girl. She wanted to stay. She had a job, I think. She was a young girl, but she was Okay. Interesting story, no? Good. Okay, we're up to Simen Kuf Nun Tes, Sivov, and we'll be learning now more on the halachas of Netilas Yadayim. We'll be talking about a concept of Koach Gavur today. We'll be talking about pouring with your hand, pouring spritzing onto somebody else. I think you asked it the other day. Does that work or not? We're going to speak some basic halachas on, we're going to talk some Hilchas Mikvahs as well. Some interesting halachas with regards to Hilchas Mikvahs. We'll be talking about Hamshocha, so it's quite a very interesting topic tonight. Okay, Simon Kofun on Tesla Evolve. Lo yiten maim lechaveiro, it's top line. Lo yiten maim lechaveiro bechofnov. Don't give water to your friend on passing bechofnov with your hands. Like passing it on like this. She'ein noiten elo mila kli, this is going back to the earlier Yisoy, that you can only do Netilas Yadayim through a kli, a vessel. Hands are not considered a vessel. And therefore, if you just fill water in your hands, and that's the way you're pouring onto somebody else's hand, it's not going to work because you need a kli. Yadayim are not considered kli. The problem is, it's nothing to do with the hands are toir, pure, not pure, you touched anything, didn't touch anything, it doesn't make a difference, it's nothing to do about tumah tahara, it's just about the actual concept. Hands cannot be considered a kli. Similarly also, if you took one hand from the kli, so if you took as it were, like this, you poured from a kli, and then you poured it like this. I don't know how you're going to do it practically, but it's coming from a kli, but then through your hand. So your hand is really what's pouring. Then ainu klum, that's not going to work either. For Rabbeinu Tam Matye Bezu, in this latter scenario, Rabbeinu Tam is Matye, kimon shetchilas netila liyodoy achas hoyso min akli. Because if kimon shetchilas netilosa liyodoy achas hoyso min akli, since you started off, you washed off through the kli, so this hand is going to be okay. But by pouring onto the other hand, it's not going to be, because it's not going through the kli, therefore it's going to be a problem. So you hear all that it's fine. The first needs to be such as when you poured, you know, the Rabbeinu Tam says, if you poured simultaneously on both hands, I don't know exactly how you do that. If you can pour simultaneously on both hands, revis. I don't know how you do that exactly. Maybe. Yeah. Could be. Yeah, could be. Could be, that's pshat. V'nohagu lahokel kedivre Rabbeinu Tam. The minig is like to make Rabbeinu Tam. Aval osvor rishonu ikar. But really the main halach is like the first opinion to pass it. V'lochen ish lahachmeh lechatchil lechatchil amon shubim achmeh. Good. So lemaisa, hands do not work as far as this kind of case is concerned. You pour water over here, you know, do like this or something like that. Or using somebody else's hand, that's not going to work either, because hands are not considered a kli. Moving on. Good. Water needs to come from a koyach, from a power of noisin of a giver. This is considered, is called in the Loshna Poskim koyach gavre. Koyach Gavre, it needs to come from a human. There needs to be a person pouring the water. Koyach Gavre. Mi koyach noisen. Lefichoch, therefore, listen to the following case. Tzinoir, you have a pipe. A pipe. Shedoy lemayim min hayoir, that draws water min hayoir. There's water coming from a river, shofech boy, and you pour in it. So in other words, what you've got water in one place, river or whatever it is, you have water, and you have, next to it, you have a pipe. A long pipe. And what you want to do is you want to take water from there and put it onto the pipe, which is a little bit higher. You want to take that, you want to put water onto the pipe. Now the water is going on in the pipe, it's going on and on and on and on and on, and at the end, there's water pouring down, and you want to wash your hands there. Does that work or not? So the Shulchan Aruch says, lefichoch, therefore, tzinoir, a pipe. Shedoy lemayim min hayoir, you take mayim from the river, v'shofech boy, and you pour onto this pipe. V'nimshachim yimenu hamayim, and the water goes down there. Hamayim, the water goes down there. Lehashkos hasadeh, normally it's used as an irrigation system. Normally you have this pipe to water the fields. But now, instead of watering the field, you want to use it for washing the tilas yadayim. So the halacha is, Eino yochel itin yod of lesoichoi. You cannot put your water inside it, lesoichoi, inside it, kidei sheikal chamayim aleihen, that the water should go over it and you wash your hands. It's not going to work. Why? Mipnei she'eino boi mikoyach odom. The water, now at this point, is not koyim mikoyach odom. It's not koyim from koyach gavre. Because it's a long pipe. It's a long pipe. So by the time it's reaching your hand, can you imagine it? A long pipe? It's not really coming with koyach odom. It's too far away. And the Loshna Shulchan Aruch is shekvar posak koyach ha-shofech. It's not anymore coming directly from the one who is pouring water at the beginning of the pipe. That's not directly that anymore. It's too far-fetched. The pipe is long, and now it's not considered koyach ha-noisin anymore. It's not koyach gavre anymore, because the pipe is quite long now. If you're trying to do netila sedam at a later point, towards the end of the pipe, it's not considered koyach gavre anymore. Yeah.
Maybe it's similar.
Interesting question. It's a really interesting question. Yeah, it's a fascinating question. I don't know the answer. My feeling is that it's still not considered koach hanosin, because all you did is you removed a barrier, if I understand you correctly. If you remove a barrier, it still not makes it koach hanosin. Pashtus. It's a good question. You know what, Eli, it's an excellent question. I'm not sure. Pashtus, it's not koach hanosin, but it's something to think about. Yeah. Yeah. It's a, yeah. 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 Yes. Doile maim mina yoil. Doile maim mina yoil. You're drawing the water from the oil. Yeah. Nevertheless, it's not considered koyach gavra. Shekva posa koyach hashoifech. Ve'im meisim yodov korev lemokem hashvicha. However, what's going to be the halacha if you put your hands right next to the place that you pour the water, mamash next to it? So, what's going to be the halacha then? That's right. Then it's considered koyach noisin, koyach gavra. If it's right next to it, then it's considered koyach hashoifech. It's the only thing is the distance that makes it not directly in the koyach ha'odom. It's the distance. It's because the pipe is long. That's why it ruins the koyach ha'nosen aspect. Also, netile. Netile will be considered a proper netile because it's right next to where the water starts running. And although you didn't mamash put it under your flow, it didn't mamash go under, but since it's close by, there's no significant distance, it's still considered koyach hanoisen. The kol zman shem kroivim, as long as it's close, lemok mashvich, the place you poured it, adayin mi koychoy hem boim, it's still considered his koyach, it's still coming from him. Now, please do not ask, define distance. Because I don't know what the answer is. I honestly don't know. Can you physically define a place that would be considered a koyach gavra, not koyach gavra anymore?
I can suggest a few different ways of thinking about it.
I thought you would.
I mean, if you think about, there's gravity pulling on the water.
Yeah.
Which is causing it to go down a slant. You've got a decline.
Yeah.
And so at what point is
the... Is the gravity actually doing it? And at what point was it the throwing that did it?
I mean, it's always been the gravity doing it in one respect, because you're pouring it out, you've got gravitational... Like, I've been thinking about this for a while, for various other reasons. This is something which I found interesting to me. But I can discuss it maybe afterwards.
Okay, good. Sounds like an interesting... Okay, so there is at one point it's going to be not koyach gavra anymore, and it's going to be considered the extended flow. And at that point, which I don't know how to define, the netile won't be considered a good netile anymore, because it's not koyach gavra. So the key component is koyach gavra. What we need to know is that there's a koyach, the power of man, that netile requires, which is really, really important point. Really, really important point. Okay, by the way, Mishnah Berurah asks here a question. Hold on a sec. Don't we need to have it done through a keli? We learned a couple of times now that netilas sudaim need to be happening through a keli. Where's the keli here? Where's the keli? Good. So the answer is correct. You're right, Moshe. The answer is that we consider that, and it's a chiddush, it's a very big chiddush that the netila is happening, is taking place. You need a keli, you need a vessel, and the keli is the one that you use to pour it into that tin oil, into that pipe. That is the keli that we consider washing. Ah, you're going to tie in a... Well, it's not directly, it's going on that pipe now. Well, the answer seems to be that it doesn't matter. If there is a keli initially, and although it's now going in a pipe, but since it's still the koyach of that keli, it's lomdish. It's still considered okay. Let's look at Lashon Mishnah Berurah. Says Mishnah Berurah, Sifkot Lamed Zayin. Actually, we should start Lamed Vav. Shidoy Lemayim. It's the last short line, last narrow line. Roit Salem, Shidoy Le'odam Mayim. A person draws water, Minay Oy, from the river, Bedli, with a keli, V'shoyfech, and he pours Le'soich into Atzino, the pipe, She'ovoyu Mimenu Le'sodois, that the water should go from there into the fields. And this one is coming along. Liten Yodov Le'soich Atzino. He's putting his hands into the pipe, rochoik, distant, memokoim from the place of shoich vimboi that he's put into, kedei in order she kalchu amayim al yodov, that the water should go over his hands, v'soive, and he holds, she yechoshev lo netila, it's considered netila, it's washing hands. So we're learning now, at the very beginning of the pipe, it's okay, sivkot lamitzayim, mikoi choy hem boim, it's considered it's coming from his koyach, after netilas yadayim, mikliu dafka, although we learned that water needs to come from a keli. The netila needs to go happen through a keli. Tafka, specifically, kivin shukorev lemokim ashvicha, since it is close to the place where the pouring took place. Shoshoifach bedli, and he uses a keli initially. Choshuv, it's considered mikoyach akli kam kein. It's considered as if you did it from a kli. It's considered as if you did it from a kli. Rabbi Oslin, what do you think about that? It's considered it through a kli. I went through the pipe. Doesn't matter. It doesn't break it. So I thought, what will be a case if you use, if you've got a, I can't think of a good scenario, but imagine you've got a sink that is like some, for some reason the sink is, can you help me with some sort of case? You're washing your hands, but then the sink is like a narrow sink or a complicated sink, and you have to like grab your, the water is not going to go straight into your hands. You're pouring and then there's like some sort of pipe, and then you have to wash your hands underneath it, and you can't directly do it. So you pour like this, and it's like some sort of pipe, and then you put your hand underneath it. Can you think of some? Imagine that kind of case, right? So the loch will be, it's still going to be considered okay, right? Although the kli didn't go directly pouring onto your hand, but it was a pipe in between, nevertheless, it's fine because it bore me koyach anoisin. Koyach gavra is not broken if it goes through a pipe, as long as it's. Yeah, does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's right.
Why is the tzinor better than somebody else's hands?
I suppose that if your hands would only be used in that kind of way, then you're right. Here we're talking about they actually held it. Oh, no, you're right. It stopped completely the koyach anoisein. Yeah, continues the Shulchan Aruch, v'im hitbil, yeah? Okay, now this individual was a drop wiser and he decided he's going to do something else. He's going to put his hands right into the pipe. Now we know there's a concept of Tvilas Yadayim. So this individual now is a forget about Netilas Yadayim. I can't be bothered. I'm going to do Tvilas Yadayim. Now we're going to be learning more about Tvilas Yadayim, which is very interesting. Tvilas Yadayim, instead of washing by pouring your hands, you're dipping your hands. That's considered Tvilas Yadayim. We'll speak a lot about this, what bracha you make and how it works, etc. But let's just take for granted now that Tvilas Yadayim works. So this person over here has got his pipe, which is like a uncovered pipe, and he's just saying, you know what? Forget about the Netilas Yadayim at the end. Let me just put my hands in, by dipping my hands in. I'm making the bracha, and then I've got to wash my hands for a moitzi. Does that work or not? Good idea. So he says, ve'im it b'liyadov lesoich. And if this individual now dipped his hands into this pipe, this tefillah will not be acceptable, because we know there's a concept of tefillah sedayim. Now tefillah sedayim cannot be taken. We know there's a concept of shuvim. Water which was drawn, shuvim, it doesn't work for mikveh. And similarly, it doesn't work also for tefillah sedayim. This is shuvim. It's shuvim. It's drawn water. And water that is shuvim doesn't work for tefillah. Tefillah's adam, and also doesn't work for tefillah's yadayim. So, good. He's going to make a 100 million in a minute, but we're going to leave this out. We're going to continue with that tomorrow. Okay, so we covered tonight the concept of washing hands by pouring onto somebody else's hand from one hand to another hand doesn't work. We learned afterwards that the concept of koyach gavra, koyach noisem, we spoke about his extended pipe that is used for an irrigation system. We learned that you can wash your hands with it. If the koyach noisem at the beginning is still there, that's fine. At the very end of the pipe, it's not going to work because it's not considered koyach noisem anymore. We said that the pipe is itself not a keli, but the kli used at the beginning is a is considered the keli that you're using the tilas yadayim for. That's fine. And we also spoke about the fact that if you want to do tilas yadayim with it, that is not acceptable because the water itself is considered shu'uvim. And therefore, tefillah sedaim is not considered tefillah sedaim, and you can't wash your hands in that manner. More on this, Im Yetz Hashem, tomorrow.